steam locomotives once moved nearly all the passengers and freight in this country, but that was a very long time ago. Internal combustion, some people call it infernal combustion, changed all that, putting cars and trucks on highways and replacing the steam engines with diesels. But steam engines are still inspirational and the objects of preservation efforts and even restoration efforts. Plenty still operate across the country. The hope is that Medford will be home to an operating steam locomotive in the not-too-distant future. Medco Engine No. 4 is being restored by railroad fans under the direction of the Southern Oregon Railway Historical Society, or SORAIL, and under the direction of Jerry Hellinga, who's the chief mechanical officer of the project. Jerry, thanks for joining us once again on The Exchange.
Glad to be here.
So, people who don't know steam engines, what makes this particular steam engine special, particularly its ties to Medford?
Well, this locomotive was actually built to service the logging industry by a company in Portland called Willamette Iron Steel. And it's only one of 33 locomotives built in Oregon, and it's the only one still left in Oregon. There are other survivors. There's three in Washington, one in Montana, one in California, but this is the last one in Oregon. And it was built originally for Owen Oregon Lumber Company, which was a Jackson County company, which then became the Medford Corporation. So this particular locomotive has spent its entire career, its entire life in Jackson County.
Really, its entire life?
Yeah.
Never left?
Never left.
I mean, once it was built in Portland, but then transported down here.
Yes.
Was it transported by rail, do we know?
I would assume so. Mm-hmm. At those times, it was easier to transport things like this by rail. It's gotten a lot more difficult now.
When we talk about those times, I mean, when was the engine number 4 actually built?
It was built in 1925.
Mm-hmm. Which was actually when certainly the passenger counts had begun to decline on American railroads. So some corners had already been turned towards today's railroad industry, but a lot of steam locomotives still getting made at that time.
Oh, yeah. They continued to build steam locomotives up until World War II and into World War II.
So where did Medco No. 4 work? I mean, we think of it as the Medford locomotive, the Medford Corporation locomotive, but it didn't actually work in Medford proper, did it?
No. Most of its work was in the woods around and above Butte Falls. In fact, it started its career, you might say, on a Forest Service timber sale that was known as the Forby Creek Sale. And that was a large timber sale that was actually sold to Brownlee Olds Lumber Company, which then was acquired by Owen Oregon Lumber Company. And they started logging that in 1925.
So the actual operation of the locomotive was on this private railroad owned by what was first Owen Oregon and then
yes.
Medford Corporation. And what make, I mean, logging locomotives, even to the uninitiated eye, look a little different. They're not the same as the steam locomotives that plied the main line. What makes them different?
Well, they're designed for lower speeds, high torque, and they can handle rougher track. What the steam locomotive that most people are familiar with is called a rod locomotive, where it has rods that go directly from the cylinders, the engine, to the wheels.
And to this day, people can mimic the motion with their arms. Chugga,
exactly.
Chugga, chugga, chugga.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of the logging locomotives, but not all of them, were built as geared locomotives, where you have your power transmission from a steam engine through gears to a drive line, then to the axles. It's kind of like the railroad equivalent of a four-wheel drive
mm-hmm.
or a tractor or whatever.
But it had long we call them drive shafts then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So similar in operation to cars and trucks then.
Yeah, in that respect.
Mm-hmm. So they could work at slower speeds but still manage to maintain and not stall.
Exactly.
And then what gave them the ability? Did they were able to work on steeper and curvier track as well?
Yes. A rod engine has a rigid frame, and they usually have anywhere from 4 to 8 axles on a rigid frame. The geared locomotives had what we call trucks. They are 4 wheels each. And they were able to pivot and flex, so they had more flexibility for rough trackage. And the Medco 4 was built with 3 trucks, which gave it 12 axles, and all 12 axles were powered.
So it made for a fairly flexible frame.
Exactly.
And something able to take curves. And how steep a grade could this engine work, and compare these grades with the kinds of grades you find on mainline railroads?
Well, I've seen railroad logging grades as steep as 10 or 12%.
Wow.
And as an example, the line over the Siskiyous, which was built fairly early on, is one of the steepest mainline railroad grades in the country, and it's just about 4%. So there's a big difference there.
Wow. So when we talk about a 10% grade, we're talking a 1 in 10, like one it rises 1 foot for every 10 feet?
Exactly.
Which is very steep for a railroad.
Yes.
Jerry Helling is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. It's with the Southern Oregon Railway Historical Society, or SoRail. We're talking about the restoration of Medco Locomotive No. 4, which turned a corner recently when the boiler and the other accoutrements were reattached to the frame. We'll get to that story in just a moment. You can join us on the program if you'd like to talk about this particular steam locomotive or go a little more broadly and talk about railroads in the region. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Just so people understand, I mean, this is before there actually were lots of logging roads.
Exactly.
Up in the Cascades. And so railroads really did the work that log trucks do today.
Definitely. It's, you know, and it was not as efficient because you had your layer rail, do your logging, pull your rail up, move it to another location, lay your rail. And once you pulled the rail up, then, of course, the old right-of-ways, they would serve as vehicle roads. But they didn't have log trucks like we have now. It wasn't until the 50s that log trucks became common use.
How long was Medco's railroad in operation?
Well, the railroad was originally built to Butte Falls as a common carrier called the Pacific and Eastern Railroad. And the intent was that it was going to be built over the Cascades into Klamath County and tie in with the Great Northern to provide competition for the Southern Pacific to the valley. And financial considerations terminated the construction and essentially terminated operations by the late teens. And I believe it was the railroad from Medford to Butte Falls was purchased by the timber interests in 1920. And from that point on, it was strictly logging operation from then out.
And it held out against trucks for how long? How long did it operate?
Well, they ran trains up until 1961 or 62. Mm-hmm. But they, towards the end, they retired the Medco and most of their geared locomotives in 1959 or thereabouts, 58, 59. And towards the end, they would truck the logs to a reload point near Butte Falls. And then they'd load them onto a train and take them by train down to the mill in Medford. And they did that for a few years before they pulled the railroad up.
And when they pulled the railroad up, that became the Medco Hall Road, as it was known in its latter years.
Yes.
Right? All right, which is actually a bike path that points east of the airport now, isn't it?
It is, still? Yes.
Okay. So, in fact, it's one of the lower ends. It's the area that Medford Railroad Park now exists, where Medco No. 4 is. That was part of the trackage of the old line.
Well, the trackage was just outside the park boundary.
Really?
Yeah.
And so how did the park get established?
Well, it was partially because of the Medco 4 locomotive.
Mm-hmm.
There was when it was retired in 59, it was given to the city of Medford. They took it to Jackson Park, and they set it out in the park, and they did nothing to protect it. In fact, they actually encouraged people to climb on it. They put monkey bars, benches, and so forth on it.
Really?
Yeah.
So it really was like a piece of climbing equipment?
Piece of playground equipment, yeah. Mm-hmm. And by 1976, they'd already had a couple of injuries from people, kids falling off, breaking bones. And because they didn't put an adequate base underneath it, it was starting to tip to one side. And the city of Medford was planning on disposing of it. There was an agenda item in the city council, agenda in the newspaper. One of our founding members saw the city council agenda that night, rushed to his dinner, went and convinced the city council to keep the locomotive. And he and others got together, and they formed the Southern Oregon chapter of the National Railway Historical Society and more or less became the caretakers of the locomotive.
Wow. If you hadn't seen the agenda, what might have happened?
It could have ended up in Portland.
And being cut up for scrap?
No. It was supposed to go to a museum at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's still in a museum, except it's our museum.
All right, so given the fact that it was sitting there essentially rotting, it sounds like, or at least rusting through, and kids were falling off it, what kind of shape? I mean, I'm going to guess that the kids and vandals had worked it over pretty well by the time they got to it.
Anything that was made of brass that could be loosened and removed was taken off the locomotive for scrap. We found parts and pieces in various places. We found the steam gauge in the firebox.
In the firebox?
In the firebox. It was damaged, but we were able to, I think we're going to be able to resurrect it. It's being tested now, so see if we can reinstall it. And we found other parts in the fuel bunker. Just all kinds of things were missing. It's going to cost us, the devices that are used to put water in the boiler against steam are called injectors. And they use steam through a Venturi effect to inject the water in against the pressure. It's going to cost us about $6,000 to have parts made to replace the ones that were taken away. They have to be custom machined.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So at what point, I mean, it's one thing to say, let's take this beat-up old locomotive and find a home for it here in Medford away from a kid's playground. It's quite another thing to say, hey, why don't we think about restoring this? When was that corner turned, and who had the idea?
Unfortunately, it was my idea. Sometimes I wonder if I should have done that. But I had had experience with the Sumter Valley Railroad over in Baker County, and at the time I was working in Butte Falls with the Forest Service, and there was a push for local economic development. And it seemed like a natural thing to develop a tourist railroad in the Butte Falls area as economic development. So I proposed it first to our members in the chapter, and then also to the Butte Falls Economic Development Committee. And everybody was all in favor of it.
In favor of doing what?
Developing a tourist railroad in the Butte Falls area.
All right. But that didn't necessarily involve a steam locomotive.
It did.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah. Well, I've worked with steam before, and I knew it was possible. I looked at the locomotive. The boiler seemed sound. That was critical. And the rest of the parts and pieces, what we couldn't find, we could rebuild. So it was a feasibility. It just, I didn't know how long or how expensive it was going to be, but we knew it could be done.
Again, Jerry Hellinga, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, is with the Southern Oregon Railway Historical Society. We're talking about the process of fixing up the Medford No. 4 locomotive, Medco No. 4 locomotive, built in 1925, built in Oregon, and spent its entire working life in Oregon. Never left the state, apparently.
No.
You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, I mean, obviously, having worked with steam before, you could look at this thing and see the possibilities, but, I mean, still, there's got to be a starting point. First of all, you had to get it moved from Jackson Park to what is now Railroad Park.
Well, that was done before I got involved.
Okay.
It was moved from Jackson Park in 1986. And they partially disassembled it so they can load it on trucks that had weight limits, and then they reassembled it there at the Railroad Park.
And so when did the idea for the tourist railroad come up? How soon after 1986?
Well, that was in 1994.
Mm-hmm. All right. So 8 years it sat there, and then you said, hey, we can fix this thing up.
Yeah.
The tourist railroad itself, where is that? Is that still a viable idea out there, or is it now just more of a focus on getting this locomotive restored?
Well, it's still a viable idea. We're still working with the town to try to acquire the easements we need to actually develop the railroad up there. So far, we haven't been successful, but we haven't given up yet either.
Mm-hmm. So if that plan does come to pass, are we talking about Medco No. 4 leaving Railroad Park? I mean, at this point, there's no railroad connection, and what was the old railroad bridge over the freeway is gone, too.
Yeah. Well, the bridge over the freeway was built as a truck road. The railroad was relocated, or the right-of-way was relocated when they built the freeway and turned it into a truck road. But, yeah, it would have to be trucked to Butte Falls, mm-hmm. and it can be done. It's not easy or cheap, but it can be done.
So how much work has had to go into this so far? You mentioned that the boiler was basically sound, but still there's got to be some restoration work that goes
oh, yes.
on. You pulled the locomotive quite apart, it sounds like, and very recently put it back together.
Well, it when we took it apart, we took it completely apart, not right down to the trucks, and we even disassembled the trucks. Yeah, because we had to send the axles and bearings and stuff up to a machine shop at the Mount Rainier Scenic Railroad to have those reconditioned. So we started out with what we jokingly referred to as an acre of parts. And over the years, those parts gradually came together until we had the frame, the trucks, and the fuel and water tank mounted up and in the engine shed. And the boiler was rebuilt sitting on blocks. The cab was rebuilt. And the engine was sitting on the frame, but we still needed to do the rebuild on that. But we couldn't do it on the frame because we had to have it tied something more securely before we can start taking it apart. And then on Thursday, the 8th of May, we brought a crane in. Cook Crane came in, and we put it all back together again. So for the first time in 15 years, the entire locomotive is inside the shed.
And you have a shed for it, so it is actually protected from the elements.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is there any capacity to be able to shove it out of this shed for people to look at it?
Yeah, we can. We used to, when we had just the frame and the trucks and the tanks together, it was easy to use our forklift to push it out. Now that we've added another 18 tons or so to the thing, the forklift needs help. But it can be done. It can be rolled out onto the assembly track, and we need to do that for doing additional assembly work too.
So it's is it more or less a complete locomotive now?
Looks like a complete locomotive. There's still things that need to be done. We have to go through the steam engine yet, take it apart, measure everything out, make sure it's all good and ready to go again. We'll have to recondition the crankshaft. We know that's going to need to be worked on. And then we'll open up each of the cylinders, pull the pistons, measure the cylinders and the rings, and make sure everything's good and put it all back together again. We also have work that needs to be done on the air compressor. That had some rust issues because it got opened up and water got inside of it. And that's a steam-powered air compressor where one end is steam, the other end is air.
So a lot of stuff that you simply can't obviously buy off the shelf anymore there.
No, or what you can buy is extremely expensive.
So how much money and how many people involved in the project up to this point?
Oh, over time, there's probably about 15 people have been involved at one point or another. Just on the reassembly, we had 5 people working on it on that particular day. I added it up just before we did the reassembly because I knew people were going to ask. So far, we spent $215,000. And a majority of that was on the boiler work.
Which is actually not a huge ton of money. I understand that the restoration of a mainline locomotive, the 611 in Virginia, this is like that's about $4 million they wanted to get in the bank before they even started.
That's right.
So it gets expensive. Let's take a call here. We have George and Wairika on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jerry Hellinga. We're talking about restoring Medco number 4.
Oh, boy. I have watched Virginia City, Nevada go through iterations of their railroad and ultimately very successful. And boy, would I like to have a separate but equal partnership in McLeod and in Wairika. We have 2 railroads down here that are going very poorly. In fact, you know, they're defunct for one thing or another. You have Train Mountain just to the north of us, east. And it would be a destination thing for a lot of railroad enthusiasts. If you've ever seen what happens when they open the little narrow gauge railroad up in Juneau, it's unbelievable the amount of people who clamber aboard these things.
All right, a lot of excitement about tourist trains. Thanks for that, George. Appreciate it. And you can appreciate that, Jerry, which is, I mean, this is still a dream.
Yep. A lot of work, a lot of money going to be involved, but it takes time, but we can be done.
Let's take another call from Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking trains with Jerry Hellinga. Go ahead, Bill.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Are you talking to Bill?
Yes, Bill.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm in Eugene, and I just happened to turn on the radio to your station, of which I'm a member, and I was really pleased to hear them talking about, you know, the train, the old train in Medford. And I wanted to say that I experienced a train very similar. I lived in Fort Bragg, California for 18 years before I moved to Eugene, only 5 years ago. And there was a train there commonly known as the Skunk Train, which was originally a lumber railroad. And it is still operating and successful as a tourist railroad. That's what I wanted to say.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. That's the Skunk from Fort Bragg to Willits.
I got something to add to that.
Okay.
That locomotive they're running for the Skunk Train, the number 45, was originally a Medford Corporation locomotive.
Really?
Yes.
Have you had much chat with the guys at the California Western about their locomotive? And
I've been down there to ride on it, and I know somebody who used to work for the railroad down there, so In fact, some friends and I go down there every year, once a year, to take a ride on the train and visit.
So the day you put everything back together, Thursday, May 8th, were there some issues with putting this old thing back together after so many years apart?
Well, it wasn't so much the time apart. It's the hard service it had before we took it apart. The frame had warped somewhat. And there's a series of bolts that go into the bottom of the boiler along the mudroom that go through the frame. And one side lined up perfectly, and the other side was off by about a 16th of an inch, 16th of an eighth of an inch. So I had to do some opening up some holes to get the last of those studs in.
Hmm. But you got them.
They were done.
Everything's all bolted together. So, I mean, if you had all the money you needed, how soon could this engine steam up?
All the money I needed, probably about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you don't have all the money you need. But
no, but we keep working at it.
And I notice you have some grants from the Oregon Cultural Trust.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, they've given us two grants. One was $18,000 to help with the boiler rebuild. And the other was for $5,000, which is for our next phase of the construction now that the boiler and everything are put together.
Okay. Not running yet, but certainly a visible engine, Medco number 4 from 1925, back together at the Railroad Park in Medford. And when are you open at the park?
We're open on the second and fourth Sundays of the month. We started in April and we run through the end of October.
All right. Jerry Hellinger, thanks so much for joining us today at the Jefferson Exchange, and congratulations. That'll do it for this segment of The Exchange. Back with Garrison Keillor after a break.